Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Shower, shave, and coffee, it's time to get that sports fix. Bring a case of the Mondays, then there's Would You Rather, just a little bit of awkward. So tune in live today, it's Dusty and Cam.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make the fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite shows.
You gotta see it!
Dusty and Cam on 1080 The Fan.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
Let's go, babe. Come on, let's have some fun, man.
Good morning! Happy Football Friday to you, the 8th of November, 2019. Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland. Happy Football Friday, Cam.
What's up?
Nothing. You know, just sportsing.
What's up to you?
Just sportsing, you know.
What's up with
it's, that? Yes.
No, that's Budweiser.
Yep.
No.
Yeah. How long ago was that? No. Was that 20... No. It was about 20 years ago, right?
One of the better Super Bowl commercials, yeah.
Was that 98
or
99?
Still is second to Bob Uecker and all the old football guys.
Was that a Miller Lite one?
Yeah, Miller Lite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the old football
cheap seats,
guys.
All the cheap seats guys.
20 years ago.
Just 20?
1999 is when they rolled that ad out.
What's up? Really? Has it been that long?
Yeah.
1999.
That's not fair. It's not fair. Yeah. I find myself watching a lot more Jim Gaffigan. Do you like Jim Gaffigan?
He's the guy that
not
does the
fair.
Oh no.
Who talked from my inside?
Yeah,
voice.
That guy. You know he played football at Iowa or Purdue.
Shut the front door.
Purdue?
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
His huge head?
Yeah, he was definitely a green dot.
Well, he was a gray dot.
Gray dot.
No, I was a green dot. You're naked next level. That's gray dot.
Gray dot.
He was a gray dot. That's a big head. That's like John Sukanik is complaining. Love John. John left me a half-drank, backwashed Diet Dr. Pepper yesterday. Thank you, John.
That's disgusting.
He's not up listening, I guarantee you. But John has a size 8 head. He's upset that Portland Diamond Project does not fit his head.
I have a buddy that...
He's definitely a gray dot.
I have a buddy that...
He's a gray dot cougar helmet.
He played football at both Purdue and Georgetown, where he transferred from Purdue.
I forget. Yeah. Jim Gaffigan?
Yeah. There's that
picture. That just made me love him even more.
He was in his 60s, so I don't know if he was an offensive or defensive lineman, but he had a sick neck roll, too.
Good neck roll.
Yeah. Yeah, the old, like when it was actually a roll and it had like a hole in the middle of it, you know what I'm saying? Like they had like little holes drilled into it, and had a string through it. That was the Jim Gaffigan neck roll. So, he was in fact a football player.
Jimmy Gaff's a good, fun dude.
That's probably why you like his comedy. You just didn't even know it. You just had an attraction to his style, and you were like, I know, there's something I like.
Well, he's
got to
be an O lineman because O linemen are funny. Nobody else is funny on the football
team. Yeah, I don't know how big he is, though. I mean,
he's a good sized guy. He's a good sized guy.
You know what? That it explains why his head is so big, though.
He's got a big head.
Because he probably used to be a ginormous man, and then he just lost that weight. And when they lose the weight, your head looks that much bigger, you know?
It's a good point.
It's like a little bobblehead out there.
Big head? Kind of like Howie Long?
Yeah, because at one point, your head fit your body. And then you went and you just said, I'm changing the rest of my body head. You got to catch up. And you don't.
Aren't there things that grow as you get older, like your nose, your ears? And doesn't your head continue to grow somehow, your cranium? I don't know. So just like something, there's something about it. It's like as we get, everybody's, you know, like old people with huge heads.
But I think that, again, goes to the rest of your body is shrinking when you're getting older. You know, you're getting shorter and you're getting, like, smaller, and then all of a sudden you're just like, oh, my God.
So the things you want to grow as you get older don't grow.
Your hair.
Yeah, your hair. Most definitely your hair.
Except for in your nose and your ears.
Ear hair. Ear hair.
That bothers me.
Serious issue. I got one of the best nose hair trimmers, but it doubles as a ear hair trimmer. Thank God, because if I let that go, I'd look like a Wookiee down there.
In your ear?
Yeah, down there. The top down.
Top down in your ear?
Down there.
That's gross. I can't stand your ear hair. I have like four rogue ear hairs, and
you get a little pluck out of there.
I just pluck them all out, and those things grow so fast.
Here's a question, and if someone has, I'm battling this. I'm battling this on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. If you have what looks like wind chimes coming out of your nose, your ear,
okay,
are you the person that will tell that person, or will you just continue to let it just literally wag at you and say hi in the conversation during the time? At some point in time, are you going to be like,
it's a comfort level thing,
you know,
like with you, I'd be like, hey dude, you got like a,
yeah, but I would never get there.
You got a streamer.
Well, like a booger or
you
something.
Got a streamer.
You can tell with
out.
The booger. I mean, you most definitely tell the boogers. But you a non-booger guy?
Oh, what do you mean?
Like, if the booger's hanging, do you like, hey man, you got a little, you got a little something. Well, you got a little something there.
Again, depends on the relationship.
I think you even do that even when a non-relationship, because
really? Like
I would I would appreciate it.
Yeah,
I would always appreciate if someone helped me out. Yeah, that's the breath thing too. If dragon breath is happening and you're not telling that person, that's as much as on you as it is on the other person. Which of course it's on the most of me. Most
but what
of the
time. If it's what if it really is a like a sensitive subject with that person?
Really?
And they're like, I'm trying. There's nothing I can do about it.
I don't know, because I think that dragon breath or ear hair?
Dragon breath.
All three?
No, just the breath. The breath thing, the ear hair and nose hair.
Oh, so if you have halitosis,
halitosis? You can combat that ear hair, nose hair thing. Sometimes with some people, the bad breath, they can't even control. It's just out of their control.
See, I have gum with me most of the time. I always got a little gum, maybe some Altoids, and I always offer if you're like, I'm like, hey. You just here. Do yourself a little favor here.
You just put this.
Is
in.
That rude?
Is that depends rude? On how you say it.
Well, okay, so if I just said, "Hey, you know, you just might want it here. You might want to try one of these right now."
That's pretty rude.
Why is that rude?
It's like a, "Hey, do you want some gum?" No.
Isn't that passive? Isn't that just kind of backhand a little bit? Wouldn't you like be fully
instead
transparent?
Of just being like, you might want to have some of this.
Might want to try. Hey, right now it's a little bit. It's a little. You might want to try one of these.
Yeah, no, that's a rude way to say it.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I always appreciate that when someone does that. Nose hair. You see my nose hairs, get out of the way. Let me know. Bugs are hanging. Let me know. Okay. Ear hair. Breath.
Mm-hmm.
We had the worst. My French teacher in high school.
Oh, hey.
She had the worst coffee. I mean, it was just haggard. Mm. She could just come over. She'd be like, je me bonjour. My French name was Sebastian. Oh. So it's bonjour, Sebastien.
Mm.
Comment allez-vous? And I'd be like, oh.
I'd
have to turn the other
way. Why did you pick Sebastian?
Because you had to pick a French name. And yeah. Sebastien was my French name.
Mine was Gilberto.
It's not bad. I like that. I like Gilberto.
And Olson.
Also, like
Big Bear.
Big
Olson.
Olson.
Yeah. And Gilberto. Those were my two Spanish names. All right, well, welcome in to Sebastian and Gilberto in the morning.
Actually, like that better.
You like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's already a wild morning. Look, we woke up this morning and two big sports stories on this Football Friday have already broken. We have, apparently, Deion Sanders is going to be the head coach at Florida State, maybe?
Well, in the running, and that's not going to happen. That is never going to be like hiring.
Really?
That's not going to happen. There's no way Florida State does that. They can't be that petty.
Petty? Why would that be petty?
That is the are you kidding me? You're going to hire Deion Sanders to be your head football coach? He's never coached anything other than prime prep on television.
Which got closed down.
That would be a laughingstock.
Yes, that is a, that would be a bad move. But Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network is the one who's reporting this, the first to report it. Do you know where Deion Sanders works? NFL Network.
He works for the NFL Network.
Yeah. So I think that that is, that's an interesting move there. Well, but
can't you
here's
say
the
there's
thing.
You're a candidate by putting your name in the hat, and then Deion goes, hey, by the way, put my name out there.
Their AD Coburn, though, is saying everybody's a candidate.
Yeah.
Immediately after Bob Stoops said, I am not a candidate for the Florida State job, Coburn came out and said, we haven't interviewed him, but he's a candidate. I think they're using that term candidate very loosely down at Florida State.
Everybody's a candidate.
You know, a better candidate for a former player at Florida State is Chris Winkie, who's actually coached college football.
Yeah.
And is a guy that he's 50 or whatever.
Let Deion be the recruiting coordinator. Bring him on staff as the DB's coach. Sure, now, that makes sense, but head football coach?
Didn't Willie Taggart bring him on as some sort of advisor?
I don't know. Didn't I think so. I thought like he that? Was. I thought he was helping with recruiting.
He did something along those
prime.
Lines.
It's prime.
But we've had that happen already this morning, and then probably the best player in college football is suspended. Chase Young of Ohio State has been suspended indefinitely by Ohio State University, the defensive end who's putting up, I mean, we were talking about the case for a Heisman Trophy for Chase Young, and he is now being held out of this week's game against Maryland for NCAA rules violations and investigation of them. What are you saying over there?
Nick Bosa, college load management, draft status.
So they would say due to possible NCAA issues, we're benching him? That's a bit of a reach there.
Hey, I'm here to give you some hot takes, and we're going to have back-to-back first picks overall. Well, not first picks overall, but essentially a top pick within the top five defensive ends come from Ohio State, and both of them are not going to end up playing in the postseason.
Yeah, well,
I'm just speculating. This could be just minor.
Well, that's the thing, is that all Ohio State is telling any of the reporters that are out there is, due to a possible NCAA issue from 2018 that the Department of Athletics is looking into.
I guarantee his position coach gave him a ride home, which is illegal,
by the way. Yeah, probably.
Did you know that?
No.
Did you know your position coaches can't do that?
That's pretty dumb.
Isn't that dumb?
Can your head coach?
No.
Well, sorry, better hoof it.
Extra benefits.
My gosh. What if you give everybody a ride home?
That's different.
Just start picking students up along the way. Hey.
Then you got to get a bus. You got to make sure everybody's equal.
These are the two games, though, that he could have padded his stats for a Heisman Trophy. Maryland, and then next week they got Rutgers before they play Penn State. These are the 2 weeks that everybody was saying, hey, if Chase Young really wants to be in New York City for the Heisman Trophy presentation, these next 2 weeks, he will pad his stats. Well, he's going to miss at least one opportunity, probably a second too, as well. So we got those two stories, and it's only 6:14.
Well, I thought there was a bigger story yesterday from Antonio Brown. Did you see him go all scorched earth? In fact, he deleted his tweet. Can't find it. But I'm sure somebody screenshotted. But boy, did he retort, which I believe somebody wrote that second tweet for him.
Oh, that was totally. It was. Well, first of all, the punctuation was proper. So
somebody wrote that tweet for him. He has a social media manager that's helping him.
Look.
I don't know. Somebody's got to be helping him.
There has been red flag after red flag after red flag with Antonio Brown. And he went scorched earth yesterday saying he'll never play in the NFL again.
And blankety blank the NFL. Yeah.
Yes, and he is just, I can't believe, Team Star still looking into signing him.
Of course they will, and somebody will sign him.
But he can't get out of his own way because he has a meeting set up with NFL investigators where he could clear his name next week.
Yeah.
And he does this, and it's just like, why can't you just stay out of your own way? And that is sad. That's sad for Antonio Brown that he cannot stay out of his own way because I don't think it's anything he can control personally.
I think emotionally right now, he needs football more than football needs him.
Mm-hmm.
And that is too bad.
Yep. All right, 55305. That is the Better You Today text line. All right, we got a lot of football Friday to get to. Joel Klatt will join us at 7:30. He will be here to discuss all things college football, including an awesome weekend ahead of us in college football with you got Alabama and LSU with so much being on the line in that game. We'll discuss that game as well. Think of all the things that could be on the line for that game. but not just SEC implications, not just college football playoff implications. It goes far more than just those two things. We got Penn State, Minnesota. We'll find out what Minnesota is too. Have our weekend Would You Rather at 8 o'clock this morning in football Q&A. You got questions, we got answers. 55305. But where we start is with the Portland Trail Blazers. 3 in a row, folks. 616 on the Fan. All right, it is 6:20 on your Friday morning. Dusty here at Camp Cleveland with you. Portland Trail Blazers lose again last night, 107 to 101. This time at the hands of the Los Angeles Clippers. Three consecutive losses for the Blazers now drops them to 5-3 on this young season. And you know, for the Blazers again, I think it's way too early to start panicking, but it was nice to see C.J. McCollum wake up, especially in that third quarter, and come out firing for the Blazers, and his shot looked like, hey, C.J.'s coming back.
Just not the fourth quarter.
No. But third quarter, you went 5-8, and then in the fourth quarter, you had Anthony Simons go on a little scoring spree there where he filled it up. He had 16 points in the fourth quarter, and the Blazers' offense, the team as a whole, they looked lethargic. They looked like the team coming off of back-to-back in that first half. They only scored 40 points in the first half against the Clippers. Now, the good news is the Clippers were on a second of a back-to-back, so they only scored 47 points. But, you know, they kind of look lethargic. Guys look like they were trying to find their way. And they came out firing in that third quarter, and it was looked like a wake-up call, especially because I know that he took a lot of criticism on social media and in the halftime show on TNT. Hassan Whiteside was bad in that first half. Numbers looked okay, but he was just looked lethargic on the defensive end, and he was one of many that looked that way for the Blazers in the first half.
Yeah, I have no idea why. None whatsoever.
Well, and I think that is...
Nobody really knows. It's the beginning of the season. There's already panic in the streets.
Well,
Blazers are going to suck. They're going to miss the playoffs. They're terrible. There goes the season. It's all dreadful. I don't know. Take what you want. I feel like this team is still trying to figure it out.
Well, they totally are. And that's why it should not be a time to panic. The one thing that has been concerning for fans is that, you know, over the last couple of years, there wasn't a sense of you knew what was coming from each of the guys because we'd become so familiar with them, and we knew Maurice Harkless and Myers Leonard and Al-Farouq Aminu. We knew their limitations. We knew what their ceiling was and what they could be as players, right? This year, you have a whole lot of unknowns, and one of those guys is obviously a guy that everybody's been looking forward to in Anthony Simons, but then you have Kent Bazemore, Herzogna, LeBissiere, Tolliver, and Hassan Whiteside. But one thing that there was warning flags from all of the people in Miami, whether it was media members or fans, was you're going to get a roller coaster of effort. And last night, Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal, mostly Shaq, went in on Hassan Whiteside in his first half effort.
All you players, if this is your contract year, ball out. Play with effort. Play. Whiteside, this is contract year. I'd be sticking up for him all the time. Me and Chuck, we all have these arguments, but tonight he's playing with no effort.
If
this is my contract here, and they're handing out $250, $300 million, what you think I'm going to do, Kenny? Ball out. Whiteside got to pick it up if he's trying to get new money. Last time he was playing on the contract, he had a great year. He got a lot of money, and Chuck seems to think ever since he got the new money, he's not really playing anymore. I would like to see more effort out of Hassan.
So right there, Shaq just says, you know, you need more effort. You have to. And I think something that is interesting there is that, you know, Charles's take on it's been for years. And that is kind of what fans in Miami were frustrated with Hassan Whiteside when he left.
I don't know enough about Hassan Whiteside. I didn't like that comment about Shaq who says it's in your contract year. How about it's in every year? That's the difference between a cleaner, a guy that's an elevate your game, Dame. Doesn't matter if Dame was in his contract year or if he was in 400th place. That's the difference between a guy that elevates. I don't know enough about Hassan Whiteside. If that's your feeling about Miami and that's what everybody else says about him, then why would you be? Why am I going to be surprised about it? You mean guys mean to tell me they're playing for contract money? Of course they are. Yeah. You have a 7-1 dude out there who's bigger and better than everybody on the court, and he doesn't want to try hard? God, I mean, just story of the NBA. There's only 450 of them. You're lucky to find 20 that really want to get out and play every week.
Well, and then that's where Chuck had a big issue with it. And Chuck and Kenny Smith was trying to defend Hassan Whiteside by saying he just doesn't know kind of what his limitations are, what his skill set is.
You say he has one good game out of four. That's not an NBA professional. You can give effort four games.
I didn't say he's not giving effort, but I okay, for me going into a game, I said if I get the ball free throw line to free throw line between four and five seconds, then also what I'm going to do if I on pick and rolls, if I get 2 feet in the paint, and the other thing is every time there's an open shot on a spot shot swing, I need to shoot it. So now I'm going to the game, and I'm going to do those three things every time, regardless if I'm making shots or missing shots. But with Whiteside, I don't know if he knows what his strengths are. Do you think he knows what his strengths are?
Yeah, going to the bank twice a month.
No, listen.
That's his strength. No, going to the bank twice a month, stealing money. Kenny, let me tell you something, Kenny.
We've seen him many times when he plays aggressive. He plays
aggressive. Listen, Zubac got 11-9.
Damn.
I love Ernie at the end. Damn.
Mm-hmm.
But right there.
Well, those guys are the best in the business. They know what they're talking about. They analyze it. They see it. And they're going to give you the straight up. They're not going to sugarcoat anything. The jury's out for us on Whiteside watching here in Portland. Anybody, are you going to take one game? I mean, you got.
No.
I'm just saying in general, we can't just sit there and think, hey, it's one game, one opportunity. They've seen Whiteside for a long time. Been talking about him in Miami. They all get it. Let's see what this guy gives you over the course of a couple months, at least. I'm not going to just slaughter this dude right when he gets to Portland.
You know,
kidding me?
One of the things, though, is that, and it's not just slaughtering the dude right when he comes to Portland, and I don't think that should. It is, this has been a common theme with Hassan Whiteside. If you want encouraging signs of it, though, you know, it is kind of this figuring out process of what the team is. Right? And how guys respond to each other. And you know what it's like in a locker room? You got to poke buttons and see kind of how guys operate and what motivates different people. And I think that was one of the big strengths of the last couple of seasons with Portland is that Terry Stotts, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, the leaders of this franchise right now, they knew what made each guy tick. And they're still trying to figure it out. And Damian Lillard said after the game, I thought tonight Hassan had a really good game. A few times in the first half, he'd set a good screen and then didn't roll. Defensively, he was slow to react. Not just him. We had a few guys, same thing. But I think he just kind of took it to heart. He was receptive to one or two people getting on him saying, you need to drive harder. You need to finish in the paint. We need to move you a little bit faster. And he definitely stepped up and played at a level where we need him to in the second half. I think that was a huge part of why we played so much better in that second half.
Right. Yeah.
In that, he may be just one of those guys that continually needs to be reminded. And that's one of these growing processes where you're figuring out within a game, I need to keep reminding him what we need him to do. And that may be it.
Dame and CJ aren't big enough guys to take over games. Okay. They're not going to dominate Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. You're not going to be able to have that. The defensive mindset of watching the Clippers, they're just better on defense. That's it. The defensive intensity. If Whiteside, this roster doesn't look anything like it has in the last four years. There's no, I don't even recognize half the guys. Rodney Hood, Tolliver, I know they were there. Okay, Whiteside, that whole starting lineup is only just Dame and CJ.
Yeah.
Everybody else is trying to figure out their footing. Still excited about the roster? Sure. Athletically, talent-wise, yeah. The West is a gauntlet.
It is.
It's a good luck. It's a good luck for everything. So here we are. You're 3-5.
You're 3-5, and it's November 8th. It's November 8th right now. It is the reaction of Blazer fans just wanting to be like, oh my gosh, I want this playoff team to look like a playoff team right now. Reality is you're not going to get it. One, you're shorthanded due to injuries. Two, you still have guys in a lot of new pieces trying to figure each other out. And until that third quarter, CJ McCollum has been waiting to wake up with his shot. He finished 9 of 23 from the field, along with Damian Lillard. Neither one of those guys connecting very well from three-point range either. And once those guys figure that out, watch out. It'll be okay.
As I just read this. When you got a night out in L.A., and you show up after that, you get a day off in L.A., that's a typical day off in L.A. shot right there.
Bettors will say if you have a night off in Los Angeles, Miami,
New York,
or New York,
good luck.
Take the other team
because
they're going to be hungover. 55305, that is the Better You Today text line. The Blazers fall 107-101. relax, as Aaron Rodgers would say. It's a long season ahead of him. P1 Social, football Q&A. We already got questions coming in, football related. Let's get back to the gridiron. First is Buck with SportsCenter.
Relax.
Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Come out to the coast. We get together, have a few laughs.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text us on the Better You Today text line at 55305 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
Five, 55305, the Better You Today text on football Q&A. You got questions, we got answers. Get them in on the Better You Today text on.
I'll start this off with my question of the day. If Philip Rivers was throwing a med ball last night.
Oh, my God.
Did all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden you watch when a player, like when you could see Peyton Manning's arm diminish. And I'll be straight up honest. I haven't really dove into Philip Rivers' throwing ability in the last 2 to 3 seasons because they just, the system is what the system is. Watching Derek Carr also throw, not a lot of deep balls. The West Coast offense is built in layers. It's always like the long handoff. I mean, that's kind of what the West Coast system was built around. What I saw last night from Phillip Rivers was, I mean, his throwing was atrocious. I mean, that was as bad as I've ever seen him throw. And I was wondering, did the Raiders really do a great job with him? Did suddenly he forget how to throw the football? No, he's always been that way. But that was a sign to me that not only is the end near, I think the end is done. I think it's just done. If you can't move the ball with some sort of velocity and you have a system that's unlike Drew Brees, who can move, doesn't move the ball with great velocity but has great spacing, he couldn't even get the ball in four in the 2-minute drive. There wasn't even a ball that had any sort of snap.
Zip.
Nothing. Couldn't step into it, couldn't move it, couldn't drive it. It was inaccurate. That was sad to see.
The way he was throwing it, it almost looked like someone whose arm was like asleep and he's trying to move it. Like he's like
never had the best throwing motion.
I know,
you're right.
But it's like now it looks like it's just he's like trying to whip his whole torso around just to get the ball out.
Extra there's no side army.
Well, there's no snap left. Yeah. I mean, of course, when your arm and this is what happens when you age. That's what it makes guys that are so great, like watching 40-year-olds do this. But he's right there at 38,
and it looks like it's sailing on him too. He was missing a lot of guys high at the end of the game.
If you're wondering, Philip Rivers went 0-for-7 on the potential game-winning drive for the Chargers and threw an interception that sealed it. He also threw 2 picks early that put him in a 10-0 hole, including a pick six.
Bad picks. So actually should have had another pick that was in how bad was everybody in lining up in the neutral zone last night? Maybe.
Point of emphasis.
I know it's just a point of emphasis, but maybe the defensive guys should start to draw a line in the sand. I don't literally in the grass.
Both
say,
teams.
I can't have my head past this, but my hand's here and my head's over the line. Stop lining up in the neutral zone.
That was pretty ugly. And then he threw a red zone interception that you're mentioning. That's why a neutral zone infraction negated an interception in the red zone too, which they ended up getting points out of just a couple of plays later. But Philip Rivers is old Justin Herbert going to be a Los Angeles Charger, a London Charger, Justin Herbert.
Well, they're not
calling it right now.
What, really?
Tua goes number one.
You think the Chargers are going to drop all the way that far off?
Joe Burrow probably goes in the top 10, and then Herbert is like the 11th or 12th pick.
I saw someone projecting Herbert to be drafted by and replace Marcus Mariota for the Tennessee Titans.
There's no way Tennessee
can do that. I don't
think
that happens.
Tennessee can't do that. You can't draft a quarterback from Oregon. He doesn't do well. And then you're like, well, this guy, maybe this Oregon quarterback will work for us. They're fan just for the optics view of it.
It's too much of a PR landmine kind of for the team.
You think so? You really think that
if
that,
he's
that,
not great?
You really believe that scouting departments care whether they go to a school or not?
No, the scouting departments don't. No. But the people who are selling jerseys do.
No, they don't.
The optics of it all.
If Justin Herbert is the best player on the board and they know that he's the guy there, they're going to draft him no matter what.
Yeah,
AKA Baker Mayfield. First pick overall, who probably should have been a second round grade. That's how bad Baker Mayfield was.
Well, isn't that making the point that perception does move the needle with some of these guys then?
No, I just think that when you're locked into a guy and you're John Dorsey and you believe you're the guy, the ego of who you want to draft, you're going to draft him. You don't care what fans think.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I I don't care where he goes. I hope he works out. It would just be it would be an uphill climb for Justin Herbert.
Well, he's going to go to a bad team. You know, when you're a good player, you're going to go to a bad. This is not a magic show here. This is where we're not going to just put this cloak and dagger over you and pretend that you're going to go to the San Francisco 49ers and sit behind Jimmy G and be like, let's get a couple rings. Let's do what Aaron Rodgers. You're not going to go to a good organization. Mm. If you're a good player and you're a good quarterback, you're going to go to a bad franchise.
Ooh, you know what Herbert needs to do? He needs to get on the Signal app, start texting with like Belichick or...
No, he needs to start tanking John just like Harbaugh. What everybody else does well, in this no. world now. Let's tank the rest
right, well,
of the season.
Hold on. Listen, you get on the Signal app and you text with those guys, John Harbaugh or Bill Belichick, and you say, hey, I'm going to throw a bunch of picks. I'm going to suck. Pick me at the end of the first round. Little collusion. Boom. Message disappears within 24 hours. You're good to go. Mm. 55305, the better you today. Text line football Q&A. Here's an interesting one. Will the tight ends on the field tonight at Reser, Noah Togiai and Hunter Bryant play on Sundays? I think both those guys are going to be on Sundays. Yeah. Hunter Bryant for sure. And Noah Togiai, I think, is one of the more undervalued guys.
Yeah, Hunter is, he's a tweener. He really is. He's not, I mean, he's 6'2", 6'3"-ish. He doesn't do a lot of inline blocking. So I would consider him a versatile guy, a big wide receiver. I mean, he and DK
more
Metcalf.
H.
Yeah, he's more of definitely of an H-back. He's not a true tight end. There's not a lot of true tight ends. Again, the best tight end in the league right now is... I mean, he plays for San Francisco. I'm sorry. I have a man crush on
and
him.
He might not
by the
play.
By the way, is he going to... that's what I'm saying. He can be hurt? Where's a great number, by the way. There's a lot of by the ways in there.
Yep, but there is a... the best availability is availability.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't play. That would suck. That would take a lot of shine off that game if George Kittle can't play Monday night.
I don't think
against the
yes,
Seahawks.
Yes, I do. I'm going to see teams at full strength.
Right.
But you can't afford really to lose division games. But if you're going to lose one in division to the Seahawks, it doesn't look that bad. If you want to rest him. Mm. I don't like it. George Kittle's a difference maker. Big fan of that. But, yeah, I think that all these certain kind of styles of tight ends. Right now, Iowa is the tight end U. They're kicking everybody's butt.
Yeah, but you got Fant. Who's the kid up? Hockenson? TJ Hockenson?
Yep.
Up at Detroit. Kittle. I mean... And then you saw Fant got a guy mm-hmm. cut from the Browns, the Whitehead dude who went crazy on social media. It was because the tight end got loose, then ran right through his little mm-hmm. stupid shoulder tackle, and you got to wrap up. Got a dude fired on that big touchdown run. 55305, the better you today text line. Get your football Q&As in. You got questions. We've got answers. Could be wine raging. It doesn't just have to be about strategic stuff either. Any football questions, we got football answers. Dustin Cam on the Fan. All right, 55305, better you today text line. Football Q&A, this question comes in. What do you think of Deion Sanders coaching at Florida State? I don't think it'll happen. I think they have everybody as a candidate on that. Anybody under the sun, they're going to look at. And I think that's where the AD Coburn's going with it. The interesting part is like, thinking of what former alum would be a good head coach at your school is an interesting one. Because like Oregon State, you got the no-brainer because he's the guy coaching your school right now in Jonathan Smith. Like if you were to think of UW and it's like the job came open, they were going to hire a former player, who would it be?
Currently?
Yeah. Would it be Marcus Tuiasosopo?
Maybe.
Would that be the guy that you would go after?
I don't. Yeah, maybe.
I mean, that's an interesting thing
to
think
about.
I'm
not a huge fan of having alumni coach being head coaches. I don't mind them being position coaches. It puts a lot of expectations and a lot of things. I like an outside view that come into it. I like, when, especially as the head coach, I like experience. I like a lot of experience at head coaching. That's why I think Florida State, this is a joke. There's no way this is happening. And if it does, that shows you that Florida State is led by a bunch of fanboys and they have no idea what they're doing.
Well, they are. They're run by their boosters.
Again, fanboys and whatever they're going to do. And then they will flounder and flounder and flounder.
Well, I mean, everything that you just said is kind of like, I think everything you said is good for a program like a Florida State or like some of these blue blood programs. But like Oregon State with Jonathan Smith, You need somebody who understands what you are at Oregon State mm-hmm. and what type of players attracted there and how it works. Because if you look at it, guys like Gary Anderson don't work there because they don't understand Oregon State.
Yeah, no, I agree. How you strategize and what you do. Jonathan Smith is an alum, but he doesn't come in he's not green. He's got tons of experience of coaching and organizing and being around and being tutored by a lot of very good coaches.
Who'd Oregon's be? It'd be probably like Norv Turner. Norv Turner would probably be that alum. Like if you're going alums, that would be good coaches.
Old.
Well, yeah, but who else is in the coaching game that
you got
that
a good
is
one.
From there?
Yeah, but to play the fun game which
alum
one would,
because
would you do?
Dion just doesn't. I mean, Dion is so mind blowing because one, you have the quarterbackial term, right? Mm-hmm. Is anything about Dion scream head coach?
Well, he's got notoriety, he can recruit. I thought that's what Willie Taggart could recruit. He'd say, I have a great day if you want it. Well, he didn't even get a fair shot. As much as he didn't like Willie Taggart, he didn't get a fair shot, man. He only got a year and a half. He didn't.
He did not get a fair shot, but he came in with a bunch of gusto, and he wrote a lot of checks that he couldn't write or he couldn't cash.
Who
you know?
Who can coach and change a team in a year and a half?
Nobody, but he said he could. You know,
that's his job is to say it.
Well,
what
I know,
is he
but
supposed
then
to say?
People
give
took
me
him,
time.
But people took him at his word, and they said we're Florida State. Jimbo didn't leave the cupboard bare, but like real fans of Florida State were like, gosh. Jimbo didn't recruit any offensive linemen. We didn't have a quarterback. We've got a bunch of 4- and 5-star DBs and wide receivers, but that doesn't do you any good if you don't have a quarterback or a defense and offensive line.
Yeah, two things you could always do. You could either sit there and tell you, and I experienced this as a fan of my alma mater watching Tyrone Willingham, when you know you're a year in and you know you got the wrong guy and you're a year and a half in, why keep going through it? Because you're stubborn and you say, well, maybe it's a good idea. We'll just try to maybe give him a shot. At least I'll give Florida State some credit. If they recognized that it wasn't working and they wanted to get rid of it, they cut bait.
Right.
And they paid that off instead of watching 3 to 4 years of bad football. So either way, Willie Taggart, I don't think got a fair shot. But no. If Florida State recognized that they got it and they didn't have their guy, welcome to football. $30.185 million is what Willie Taggart's gotten buyouts in his last four jobs. Can't cry me a river with that.
55305, the better you today text line. This text is football Q&A. Do you see Oregon State continuing to reap the benefits of the transfer portal with their current situation? They're winning a little bit. Oh, yeah, Wilcox at Oregon is a big one. Do you see them going down that road of the transfer portal? I mean, they picked up yesterday Charles Moore, the former number 6 overall defensive lineman in the country.
Well, we already know Oregon State's really portal. Good at recruiting to other schools and sending letters to other schools.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's a nice little ding.
I mean,
I like that.
That's part of what, if you're not in the transfer portal, then you're not willing to step into the real world of recruiting now. Because you have to recruit not only players that are young in high school, you have to recruit college athletes. Yeah. And if you're not marketing yourself that way, then you're falling behind.
Well, in where the transfer portal is really good is that these guys usually get stuck in a spot where they go, I just want to play. Mm-hmm. And what Oregon State says to guys like Charles Moore or Jack Sears, who that's the former USC quarterback who entered the transfer portal, he's going to take a visit to Oregon State. They're saying right now, you can come here and play. Get here and play, and we're going to build the depth behind you because we feel you're ready-made to step into our system. And in that case, yes, I do believe the transfer portal will be their best friend mm-hmm. for the next year or two for Oregon State in the recruiting cycles. 55305. Better you today, Texan. All right. Here's you did the youth coaching. Didn't the Sharks just win the championship for your youth football?
Yeah.
Congrats on the championship.
Yeah.
This one says, what's better for youth football, a 4-4 or a 4-3 defense?
4-4.
4-4.
Yeah, there is no need to ever be in cover 2 or anything to have deep safeties. You don't need any deep safeties in youth football.
Bring them all up.
Yeah, play zero coverage.
Bring
That's
them
all you do.
Up.
Play a bunch of man and blitz. Put pressure.
You know what I'm a fan of in youth football?
Yeah.
Whatever the high school that they're going to runs.
Oh, 100%.
Like, what? It doesn't matter. Even if you're sitting there and you're going, we don't like just get them used to playing where they're going to play as they grow up.
I'm not throwing anybody under the bus here, but our district that we have is we have eighth grade football, and it's unfortunate because you have when you're in a district that has four or five different schools within that district, how do you feed one high school? So to be fair, you create middle school football, which I don't mind. You have it in eighth grade.
Right.
But then this district, we're the only one in the entire Vancouver area that has eighth grade football. Everybody else is, they don't want to do it. The budgets are down. Hmm. They cut it out. So now you have kids that don't run different systems and they're trying to go pick which high school they go to. It's difficult. And that's a hard thing to do for middle school teachers and for coaches to try. What do we implement? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? It's hard. Very difficult to do.
Yeah, that is a conundrum there on what you do.
I don't think middle school football is valuable. If you're not going to commit to it, and some of these kids are only playing four and five games, that doesn't help. And they'll only play really one good game.
Yeah. You know what the value of it was for us when I was a kid? We ran our high school offense and defense from third grade all the way up to high school. And we just ran, like, when we were kids, we got just like six plays. And they were the basic plays that our varsity program ran.
Yeah.
And then by the time we got to high school, we had so many, and it was just like a stair step of adding to, you know, what you do. And so our offensive line, we had like offensive linemen that were 190 pounds, but they knew exactly where they needed to be.
Well, a great example of that in state of Washington is a school called Tumwater. And I know they came down and played Clackamas, if I'm correct, and put it on Clackamas a little bit. But the Otten family has been around there. Kate Otten, his grandfather, just retired a couple years ago, but they've been there for 60 years. They start their kids at six years old running the wing tee. So it's just, you know, it's just second nature by the time you get there.
All right, 55305, the Better You Today text line. More football Q&A as the show goes on. We'll do it in hour number three, but we'll get to a couple good ones that we just got before Hot and Cool, which is next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.